Glad to be with you today. This is Andrew Phipps, and thank you for joining us for the Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast. What a wonderful opportunity to visit with you, our friends. We hope that you're having a good day and that perhaps we might be able to enhance that day with the materials that we will be formatting in the upcoming program. And we're delighted to have you join us. So many of you have been so wonderful, and we appreciate your encouragement. We're just glad that we can offer what we have available today as it relates to faith, family, and freedom. You know, I believe that the three words here that we have in our program, faith, family, and freedom, I don't think there could be three greater words. You know, our faith, the faith that we as Christians have in Christ, our family, which also includes our church family, and then especially our freedoms. Our freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience, the freedom to assembly, the freedom to be able to express ourselves. So many of these things are being challenged today, and some are being directly attacked, and we'll say more about that in just a few minutes. That therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I believe the Bible will validate that, don't you? See here, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. It's not something is wrong when people that tell the listener, this is your best day, that you can be everything that you want to be, and that you are what you say you are, and that you just believe it. When the apostle had to say, he said, in other words, I'm nothing. I'm the vilest of sinners. But those other places can fill a stadium. They can fill the people are just like magnetized, or they're just drawn there. That's where they want to be. And yet, fundamental Bible-believing churches are having much trouble today in even keeping doors open. I go to a lot of places, and it's not just something that's germane to Muncie, Indiana. It's everywhere you go. I see buildings that are magnificent. I see buildings that are beautiful, buildings that might cost a lot of money. And on Sunday nights, they're almost vacant. They're almost empty. And I wonder to myself, what happened to those people? People talk to me about it, and they say, why is it that everybody that comes to church now are getting gray heads? They're getting older, the older people, and seems like we're not reaching the younger ones. And I don't know. People, maybe we need to think more in terms of that. But isn't it amazing that we had people from Liberty Baptist Church that went street preaching the other day? Now, I don't know if you're bold enough to do it or not. I don't know if I am, to stand on a busy street corner with a sign that says ye must be born again. And somebody said, well, I don't have to do that. Well, maybe you don't have to do it. But it's evident of one thing, if you're willing to do it, it makes a statement. It says to the world, I believe the Bible, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm not a bit ashamed to stand here and tell you. And I know there are those that would say, well, the church is the only place to have worship. But I don't find that in the Bible, do you? The Apostle Paul went to various places. He went into the synagogues. You know how the synagogues liked him? Most generally, they hated him. But he came in there, and they said he had a strange doctrine. You know what his doctrine was? Boy, was it ever strange. He said that this man Jesus that you crucified rose from the dead. And they said, oh, you can't tell us that. He said, well, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm the tribe of Benjamin. You ought to listen to me. He gave his experience of what happened on the Damascus Road. Do we have an experience tonight? I'm sure you all do. I believe that if we gave time, everybody here could stand up and say, well, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I came to know Christ. And somebody said, how did you know your new Christ? I tell you how you know by the witness of the Holy Ghost. There's something on the inside that when you say, I'm saved, there's something that agrees with that. If you can say, I'm saved, and you have a contrary spirit, I believe that I would get it settled. How about that? My point tonight is this. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but what? In the demonstration of the Spirit. In other words, here Paul said, the preaching may sound like foolishness to you, but that's what I learned when I was on that Damascus Road and a great light shined around me and I heard a voice. Chapter 9, chapter 22 reverses it. And Paul said, I was directed to a man by the name of Ananias, who laid his hands on me, and he called me Brother Paul. Paul went from being Saul of Tarsus to Paul. Evidently, Paul was a pretty wealthy individual, or had been. How do I know that? He studied under a teacher by the name of Gamaliel. He said he knew seven languages. Most Jewish farmers wouldn't have had seven languages to their credit, but he said in it all. He said this here, Paul said this, he said that, but Christ in due times manifested his word through preaching. If you get saved, it'll be because somebody told you the gospel. We are witnesses. It doesn't mean that you've got to have a PhD, but he said this here over in the book of Colossians. He said, in 1:23, but if you continue in the faith and grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Are you a minister? You say, oh, no, I'm not a minister. If you're a Christian, you've been saved, you are. You can tell the gospel story. I'm not talking about women being in the pulpit. I'm not talking about ladies usurping authority over the man. I'm simply saying that you can tell your neighbors. You can tell your friends. You can tell your acquaintances. Your doctor. I wonder what would happen if you went in and to see the doctor and you say, doctor, I've got a question for you. Do you know Christ as your Savior? It might be surprising. He might say, oh, yes. Or he might say, well, I've thought about it. Might be that you can witness to him. God may have sent you there to plant a seed to tell some man or woman. We need to throw out the lifeboat. Souls are struggling. They're far from the shore. Maybe we can help pull them in. I'm telling you tonight, the necessity of preaching. Because he said here once again, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
That you will continue to tell your neighbors, your fellow employees, and your church congregants about our faith, family, and freedom. It is our desire to try to get a message that speaks truth to error as best we can tell it. And our book, our foundation, is the Holy Bible. That's what we want to adhere to exclusively. And so we think that we know that the Bible is the preserved Word of God, and we can depend upon it. Wherever you might be watching the program today, be sure and Tell your neighbors and friends about it. We appreciate it so much. And also, we're doing our best to continue to add stations quite often as we have the resources to do so. I hope you'll pray that God will give us the open doors and that He will make it possible. You know, through Him, we have our moving and our being. And our goal today is that we feel like the times demand it. Never has there been such an attack upon our culture, our church, the Christ of the Bible, as we're seeing today. We need more Christian patriots that will stand up and say, we are going to cling to the old rugged cross. We're going to stand for the foundations of the Bible and for the Word of God.
George, I know it ain't Christmas time. But Brother John and the staff asked us to do a Christmas song. They wanted to do a Christmas song, and they would use it during their Christmas special, tape it, okay, and use it. And we only know two, and we did it last year. So the other one is Silent Night.
Who sings it?
I think you do. No. I certainly hope you do.
Well, can you imagine somebody passing by and hearing us do Silent Night?
No, I can't.
Some old boy figured they're awful. They're either awful early or I'm awful late one, you know. Here is, I guess this is my favorite song.
It's beautiful.
It's been Silent Night.
Oh, praise.
if you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. It's an honor to be at the Macedonia World Baptist Mission Conference in Ringle, Georgia, the one that Dr. Scott Caudle heads up, good friend of mine. And in today's session, I met Brother Tim McCoy. Was a friend of mine that I've known for years. Hadn't seen him in years, but Brother Tim, good to see you again.
Good to see you again. You're looking good.
Well, thank you, my brother. I wanted to tell or allow our audience to kind of catch up with you a little bit. I understand you stepped down as pastor of Philadelphia Baptist Church.
Yes, sir. I've been pastoring over 30 years, and I've been at Philadelphia Baptist Church for 22. Lord bless us. We started Christian school there. I have a Bible college. And the Lord just started working on my heart that was He had something else for me to do, and that was to go into missions.
Wow. That was quite a decision-making thing,
well,
wasn't it?
I told my wife at Christmas time we really need to pray about it. I've talked to her, we've been talking about it for a year or so, and I said, I think this is the year we're going to leave. We'll have to take a step of faith. She said it wasn't a step of faith. She said it was a leap of faith.
Now, exactly what are you doing as you assist the missions program?
Well, I'm with Help Evangelize Lost People out of Keene, North Carolina. We're on the watch care of Calvary Baptist Church. Brother Rohill's our pastor, and I am going to be the representative, the Southeast representative, and I'll be going in the churches, in the Baptist churches, and trying to get them to co-labor and partner with the national church planters, like in Guyana, in Kenya. These men are, I mean, God is using them. Most of them have been won to the Lord by American missionary, been trained, and they just need a little bit of funds. We support them anywhere from $100 to $800 a month, and they most of them have started three or four churches and been just so, and they're seeing people saved, having evangelistic meetings. It's just amazing what God's doing.
So, Brother Kevin Broyhill is your pastor.
He's not my pastor. My church that I've been at 22 years is sending me.
Oh, I see.
I'll stay with them since they've been with me so long.
Absolutely. Yes,
but that's the ministry is under that watch care of Brother Broyhill.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a simple question.
Okay.
How excited are you about this?
I'm real excited about it. I tell you, it was the hardest thing I ever done, giving up the church. I love those people. I've done that for over 30 years, and I just had to die out to self and say, Lord, hear mine. So the man with the pierced nails hands, he said, it's time for you to go. And I said, Lord, hear my, send me.
Well,
and I'm excited about what God's going to do and what God can do. And these national pastors are they're having evangelistic meetings, and not just 100, but 1,000 people are coming. Hundreds of people are getting saved. They're starting churches everywhere. And I'm telling you, it's just wonderful to know that the Lord's working, and God's helping us as Americans to finance some of that. Because
right.
A lot of times we get where we can't even get into these countries.
Right.
And so we need these nationals to be doing and sticking with the stuff.
Our TV programs will have your contact information. How can they reach you in a simple way?
The simplest way to reach me would be just to call me at 706-260-6994, and I'd love to, you can text me or call me at that, and I'd love to talk to you about the ministry.
So in other words, if a church wanted to get in touch with you, welcome that.
I'd welcome that. I'm having, like I said, for 22 years, or for over 30 years, churches has took care of me
right.
as their pastor, and so I've stepped out of that, and I'm having to raise my own support to be able to do this.
Will you have to travel outside the country?
I will. Lord willing, once I get my finances, then I will be able to go outside of the country, and I'll be checking on these men and working side by side. I got to go to Guyana this couple years ago, and we've seen 44 people saved. We started Blackwater Baptist Church, and our church bought the land. Another church put up the walls. Brother Borhill's church put the roof on it, and it won't be long, Blackwater Baptist Church will be going on in Guyana. It's just good to see people getting saved and God working in people's hearts.
Thank you, Brother Tim.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you for being a good friend.
Thank you for letting me be here. Amen.
God bless. Reasons why we need the gospel. The gospel is the life death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it, and it remain what the Bible calls the gospel. The question many may have in 2023 is, why is the gospel necessary? We live in an age where science and education and sociology and psychology promise us better living through rootless origins, new learning, new ways of looking at our problems, and mind-altering drugs. Here is why the gospel is necessary today. One, we have a past, and the world has a past, and both of these need to be brought into judgment so that accounts with outstanding balances can be rectified. First, every person has a sinful past, and we need the shed blood of Jesus Christ to clean up that past. Every wrong deed, every wrong thought, and every wrong word, even intention, is enough to keep us out of an eternal heaven and condemn us to an eternal hell. But Jesus came to offer forgiveness so we could be put into right relationship with God and wipe away every one of our sins, known and unknown. Second, in the thousands of years since Adam, people have been taking sides on issues concerning good and evil. Christ triumph over sin and death and hell means that every nation and every person who has ever plotted evil will be called to account for every foul action, large or small. God Himself will judge every unrepentant sinner with these words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The world's evil will be punished in an eternal lake of fire. The gospel is necessary for our present condition. First, as Christians who are trying our best to be obedient to Christ, we need the gospel of a living Christ because He Himself helps us now. He is currently in communication with God the Father about you and me. Christ tells the Father about us, and He is our attorney who continually pleads each Christian's case so that our records remain clear and clean in heaven. Second, because Christ rose again and ascended into heaven, the Father who could send the Holy Spirit to teach us and to lead us when we do not know what to do or where to go. We also need the gospel today as an indicator of what is evil in the world. The current condition of the world is so fast-paced, with conditions seemingly out of the hands of most people, especially the ones concerned with righteousness, that we need a moral compass that points us to God and right living. The Holy Spirit does that for us. And three, the gospel is necessary for the future because we need to know that no matter what happens in the physical world, God is already in the future. He has seen how everything in our physical world ends, and through Christ He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." We need comforted about future events and our futures. The gospel tells us to take our heart and to take heart when the world events look darker than ever. The gospel is necessary for the future because it is what enables the Father to say to each one who has chosen Christ as His substitute, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome into the joys of thy Lord." It is the gospel that allows Jesus Christ to stand in my place and take my judgments, which He did on the cross, so that I can escape an eternal hell. have enjoyed the program today. And if you might know of another Christian type station that would be have interest in our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast, if you could make us known about that or give us any information that you feel would be relevant, we would certainly appreciate the updates. Again, I can't emphasize enough how important it is that we together pray, seek the Lord's face, seek His will, and do our best to not be moved from the foundation. The Bible said, remove not the foundations. And so we're here today and thanking you. I'll look forward to being with you again next week at the same time. But until then, this is Andrew Phipps. Have a great day.